This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger. So America, let's hear God's message. Please open your King James Bibles to Psalm 135, verse 8, where we left off last time. Psalm 135, verse 8. Now, just before we hear God's love letter, I want to take a moment to say thank you to two beautiful daughters of Zion, Evelyn and Cindy. Here's what they do. Every Saturday morning, they gather in one of their homes and they prepare breakfast and they open their Bibles, turn on the radio, and they study with Trumpet of Truth. Isn't that a beautiful, creative way to do it? See, you are supposed to get truth to other people. What if in all of America, because we're on the internet, little clusters of twos and threes in all 50 states, you would bring someone in, get the breakfast, get it out of the way, no chatting, it's not a chit-chat social thing, let it be church in your home. And what if all over America, every Saturday morning, in every state, we were all hearing the word of God, because Trumpet of Truth doesn't beg you for money, it doesn't give me any fame, I work hard, and all you get is God, and you get a prayer for healing and salvation. So I encourage all of you to do that. This could be a very wonderful way that God could cause all of America to come together one more time. So God bless you. Now, Psalm 135, the title of this psalm is called Praise, and it is a pair, P-A-I-R, with Psalm 136. But in order to understand that, let me give you a little recap. We have just completed 15 psalms called the Song of Degrees. There were 15 of them, and God used Hezekiah to write them. And they told you what your life is about. First of all, you're in distress. That's your trouble. And then you trust in the Lord. You open the word of God, and you believe it, and you wait for it to come to pass. And then you are delivered. And then Hezekiah told us at the last of the Song of Degrees that finally, eventually, in the eternity, for those who are saved, we won't again have to be in distress and trust and be delivered. We'll have blessings, blessings, blessings. And then what are we going to do for all eternity in Father's house? We are going to praise the Lord. So that's where we are now. He's taken us into the eternity. We're going to praise the Lord. Now, I want you to know that praise doesn't just mean saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Many people say that and they got a cold heart. When you obey God, you are praising the Lord. It means to love him. Every time that you obey him, then you are praising him. So I want you to understand that. So we continue praise where we left off last time, Psalm 135, verse 8.
He who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both man and beast.
Now this is taken from Exodus 12. It is the 10th plague. The children of Israel were in bondage and slavery in Egypt, and God said, let my people go. But Pharaoh would not do that. So to get their attention, God killed everybody's firstborn except those who had the blood on the doorpost and the sign of a cross. That was the first Passover. Then death passed over them. Do you know why God slew their firstborn? Because in the Bible, God calls Israel, the nation Israel, his firstborn. And he said, you're keeping my people in slavery, and you're going to die. They're going to die off here. And eventually, Messiah was to come through that lineage, and he would be the firstborn of many brethren. He would be the only begotten of God. And he says, you are preventing my firstborn from coming in. So therefore, God's law of reciprocity kicked in.
9. Who sent tokens and wonders in the midst of thee, O Egypt?
Moses took out his magic wand, I like to call it that, his rod, and he turned the water into blood, the whole Nile River. Now, Moses is a type of Jesus. And you remember in the Gospels, one of the first miracles recorded of Jesus, I strongly suspect it wasn't the first one, but it's the first one recorded, was at a wedding of Cana, and they were out of wine, and his mother said, please turn the water into wine. So he turned the water into wine. What does that mean for you? In Revelation 17, it says the waters are the people. Okay, so the water represents the people. The wine represents the blood. So Jesus turns the people to the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed so that you can be free of slavery and have eternal life.
Upon Pharaoh and all his servants, men who smote great nations and slew mighty kings.
Now, when the children of Judah, the house of Judah, was taken captivity by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar finally died off there and his grandson took over. And Daniel 5 says that the grandson, Belshazzar, was very wicked. And he went and took the holy vessels that they had taken from the temple in Jerusalem and had a party. He partied hardy and they were having drunken orgies in there. Well, that got God upset. So what God did then, God just took his hand, nothing else, and he wrote on the wall. Can you imagine suddenly a hand starts writing on the wall? Daniel 5 says this is what God wrote. Meeni, meeni, tekel, Upharsin, thou art weighed in the balance and found wantings. The Bible says in Daniel 5 that the king, Belshazzar, was so afraid that his joints were loose. That's a figure of speech meaning he lost control of his bladder. God has a sense of humor.
11, Sion, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan.
When the children of Israel finally got free there and after their 40 years in the wilderness, they were about ready to go into the promised land. But on the east side of Jordan, there was territory owned by Sion, a king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan. Well, Sion and Og would not cooperate with the Israelites. The Israelites said, if you let us pass through, if we do any damage, we will pay you generously. But they would not. Sion even made war on them. Now, listen to what Og's name means. It means long neck. You know why? In Genesis 6, the word sons of God there, in the Hebrew reads Nephilim, fallen angels. Og was a giant, the child of the fallen angels and a human woman. And the Bible tells us, all of this is in Numbers 21, the Bible tells us how wide and how long Og's bed was in cubits, but I'll translate it for you in English. It was 18 feet long and 8 feet wide. That is some big giant, don't you think? Now, you have a big giant in your life. It's probably yourself. It's probably depression. It's probably refusing to believe in God. It may be cancer. It may be sickness. It may be money. It may be loneliness. It may be you don't know what to do. But our God is bigger than any giant. Say to the giant, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ.
Oh, the kingdoms of Canaan. 12, and gave their land for an heritage.
The tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh, after Sion and Og were slain, got that land on the east side of Jordan, and on the west side of Jordan, the rest of the tribes took that. And that land on the west side of Jordan is the Israel of today, where God the Father, Revelation 21, at the end of the millennium, is going to bring the heavenly Jerusalem and dwell with us. How about that? Promised land.
And heritage to Israel, his people. 13, thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. And thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations.
When God the Father comes down to planet Earth at the end of the millennium with the heavenly Jerusalem, Revelation 21, remember in Ezekiel 16, God fell in love with that area and he said, this is going to be my eternal habitation. And when he comes down on planet Earth and rejuvenates the Earth and all sin is gone and only the saved will be here, God is going to change the name of Jerusalem, and that is documented in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 48, the last verse there. It says, the name shall be Yahweh Shema, which means the Lord is there. So say once again, Emmanuel, God with us.
14, for the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants.
Repent means to have compassion. We shall all stand, Paul says, before the judgment seat of Christ, saved and lost alike. And if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will have eternal life and go on the good side. If not, you will walk into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But all who are saved will also be judged by God's books, by your name, the works you did for Jesus after salvation. There will be a fire machine. Hebrews 12:29, God is a consuming fire. And if your works were gold, silver, brass, they will last, and you will have a beautiful robe. If they were wood, hay, and stubble, they will burn. You will be saved, yet so as by fire. So there are different degrees of rewards and different degrees of stations in heaven on earth, saved yet so as by fire. What are the works that weave your bridal gown, which is mentioned in Revelations 19? The works to get Jesus and the truth of his word to others. That's why I mentioned Cindy and Evelyn. See, they're inviting people in their home to hear the truth, and there is a prayer of salvation. For every time you win a soul to Jesus and get the truth, I do not mean sermons. I do not mean traditions of men. I do not mean books about the books of quarterlies of one verse and 3 points, but every word of God, the mystery, God's whole plan, that weaves your gown. Hallelujah.
15, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands.
Now, when we get to verse 15 here, 15 through 18, the psalmist, and actually we found out that that Hezekiah is also writing this one. He begins to compare the superiority of our God, Yahweh. We learned his name last week, the sacred name of God, the Lord, L-O-R-D is Yahweh. His superiority as compared with the idols of the nation. When you think about it, our God is the only one alive.
16, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. 17, they have ears, but they hear not.
Now, if you worship money, if you worship fame, if you worship good pleasure, if you worship all yourself, narcissism, nothing of that can ever, ever save you. This reminds me, when the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant from Shiloh, they took it and put it in the temple of their fake god. His name was Dagon. He had the head of a man and a body was of a fish. Of course, they had made it. Can you imagine making that and then worshiping it? So the next day, they went in to check on their god, Dagon, and guess what? There was the Ark of the Covenant. It has the presence of God in it, you know. Poor little Dagon was lying before the Ark of the Covenant, and his head was cut off. Doggone.
Neither is there any breath in their mouths.
No life there. I mean, they can't give you life.
18, they that make them are like unto them.
Dead.
So is everyone that trusteth in them.
Dead.
19, bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. 20, bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord.
What he's saying here, everybody, priest, people, Gentiles, everybody praise the Lord. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, on to the end, we have a great outline of the eternal heaven on earth. He's going to rejuvenate the earth. It'll be paradise restored. And right there in the Jerusalem temple area will be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Zadok, the priests, the elect, the overcomers, those of you even who overcome, and others who've overcome. And right in that square will be all 12 tribes. And then all throughout planet earth, the seas will be restored, will be the Gentiles. But we will all praise the Lord.
21, blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord.
In the Hebrew, hallelujah, hail, God the Creator, Yahweh the Redeemer. Now we come to Psalm 136, which is also entitled Praise. But this is not only does the priest do the praising, like I'm doing up here, but you is a summons to the people to praise. Now remember, these psalms are songs. So what we're going to do here, the priest sings the solo, and I'll play that part. And you're the people, and you sing the chorus, but you don't have to sing. Every time it says, for his mercy endureth forever, you are to say that. This is the way this is to be done in the church. Let's practice it. Ready, go. For his mercy endureth forever. Now be careful, because after every verse you are to say that. Now don't do that like a robot. Go in there and put some fire in your belly and praise the Lord.
Psalm 136, 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Verse 2. O give thanks unto the God of gods,
for his mercy endureth forever. Deuteronomy says that he is God of gods, Lord of lords. He is no respecter of person, and he does not take rewards, meaning you can have the office of the highest person on planet earth, but if your sins are not washed in the precious blood of Jesus, you will have no priority there. And he says you cannot bribe him. There's only one way, and it's the cross of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life.
Thanks unto the Lord of lords,
for his mercy endureth forever. In the Hebrew, this reads Adonim of Adonim. We learned that name last week. We're studying the names of God. Adonim is possessor of heaven and earth. So we praise you, Adonim.
For to him who alone doeth great wonders,
for his mercy endureth forever. God said, I stretched out the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period.
5. To him that by wisdom made the heavens,
for his mercy endureth forever. In Proverbs 8, wisdom is speaking, and wisdom says, I was with God before the highest form of the earth was ever formed. I was with God in the beginning. Of what is your flesh made? Dust. The highest form of the earth, dust. Okay, before you were in your flesh body, wisdom was with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And where do you get wisdom? The Word. So God created heaven and earth, period. Genesis 1, verse 1. And a long, long, long span of time happened between verse 1 and 2. When he created it, it was perfect. We are in our spiritual bodies. When you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. There was no flesh body. The dinosaurs were in their flesh. Everything was perfect. No storms. Earth was in its perfect place. Now let's see what happened.
6. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters,
for his mercy endureth forever. Now this is Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. And it was without form and void. The word was is in italics. Anything that is in italics, man put it in there. God did not say it. The Hebrew word is tuhu vabuhu. It means it became void. What does this verse mean? At first it was so perfect. God had the firmament up there. 2 Peter 3:6, there was a world that then was. World in the Greek is eon, our age, the first earth age. That's verse 1 of Genesis 1. Everything was perfect. But when Satan rebelled, Isaiah 14, and said, I will be God, he deceived one-third of God's children, Revelation 12. So in Jeremiah, God says, I shook it. And when God shook it, that firmament fell on the planet earth, and boy, that's where the oceans came in.
7, to him that made great lights, for
his mercy endureth forever. Every time you look at the light, the lights are for the season. He made the great light, he called it day, the night by night, the darkness, the night. But when you see the light, Paul says God is the Father of lights. I have gotten to a place now that if I see, I'm not talking about, you know, lamplight, I'm talking about natural light. I know that I am seeing a part of God. Isn't Jesus the light of the world?
8, the sun to rule by day.
For his mercy endureth forever. God made the sun. He said, Son, here's what I want you to do, S-U-N. I want you to leave your chambers every morning, and I want you to make your circuit, and I want you to go all around and make the plants grow and warm the earth. So do you know the sun's been obeying ever since? All of God's nature obeys him. The only ones who don't are his children.
9, the moon and stars to rule by night.
For his mercy endureth forever. Now we know that the prince of darkness, even the prince of the powers of the air, is in charge now. And any prophecy in the Bible, I'm going to be teaching Revelation on radio very soon, all of it. And any prophecies in the moons refer to Satan. When it's day, it will be of God. So while darkness seems to rule on this earth, you are called the stars. In the book of Job, he said, Job, do you remember when the stars sang and danced together? The stars, they are children of God minus the flesh, but you're in the flesh now. And even though there is a prince of darkness ruling on this earth, Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. You still have authority in the name of Jesus and on the basis of the victory's blood. I'd have shouted on that.
Amen. 10, to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy
endureth forever.
11, and brought out Israel from among them,
for his mercy endureth forever.
12, with a strong hand and stretched out arm,
for his mercy endureth forever. When Jesus was on the cross, he stretched out his arms. And he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the Spirit says, come, and the bride says, come. Whosoever will may come. But in Ezekiel 13, God says, you cover my outstretched arms with your lifelike proverbs. He says, people are not going to be able to see that with that lie you are teaching. You cover my outstretched arms. Oh, let us not believe the lie. Let's wait for the seventh trump and wait for the outstretched arms of Jesus.
Amen. 13, to him who divided the Red Sea into parts,
for his mercy endureth forever. Now we know in the natural that did happen, but remember the waters in the sea, Revelation 17, are the people. Now when Jesus comes at the seventh trump, he is going to divide the sheep from the goats. The sheep are the saved and the goats, I mean, see, they call themselves the same family, but they are lost. He will separate the wheat from the chaff. Luke 16 says there's a great gulf fixed, and saved on one side, the other on the other side. Today is the day of salvation. If you're not saved, I'm going to give you a chance on the radio and in live here. This is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late.
14, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it.
For his mercy endureth forever.
15, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea.
For his mercy endureth forever. Pharaoh and his chariots were in hot pursuit of the Israelites as they tried to get through that Red Sea that God had parted. You know what God did. Listen, he has a great sense of humor. He took their wheels off. You want to make sure you stay in good with God. Don't let him take your wheels off.
16, to him who led his people through the wilderness.
For his mercy endureth forever. Right now, there's a great darkness. There's almost no light in the world. The darkness is covering the earth, and the Bible says it will. But we recently had a psalm, and it says, the word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. All you have to do is trust in the Lord Jesus and know this word of God, and you will take one step, and that's all the light you will have. But then you'll take another step, and the light will come on, and he will lead you safely through to the promised land.
17, to him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever.
Now, we know he slew the Belshazzar there, and we know he slew Cyan and Og. But you know, God also lifts up bad kings to punish the people who have turned away from God. Pay attention, America. And there was a great king, a king of Persia called Cyrus in the Bible. And Ezra chapter 1 and the book of Isaiah talks of Cyrus. Ezra talks of Cyrus. And it tells us that God called Cyrus by name 140 to 150 years before Cyrus was ever born of his mother. He lifted him up. He was the king of Persia. Persia is today Iran. But God gave him favor, and he conquered all the nations, and he conquered Babylon, where the house of Judah was in captivity. And you know what he did? He let Ezra and Nehemiah go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall and rebuild the temple. God lifts up one, and he can use anybody, even a donkey.
18, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. 19, Sion, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. 20, and Og, the king of Bashan,
for his mercy endureth forever.
21, and gave their land for an heritage,
for his mercy endureth forever. Now, as I told you, the tribe of Reuben, of Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh took that Sion and Og's land on the east side of Jordan, and the rest of the tribes got the west side, which is Israel today. In the book of Ezekiel, it gives us a layout, as I have already told you, of the eternity. Everybody has a place. The only type of people in the eternity that will not inherit a plot are the Zadok, the elect, chosen from before the foundation of the earth. You know why? God says, don't give them a plot. God says, I am their inheritance. The Zadok just inherit God. I mean, what else do you want? All I ever wanted was God. We're going to get him. He's our inheritance. How can you sit quietly? Clap your hands, people. Thank you.
To even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. 23, who remembered us in our low estate,
for his mercy endureth forever. When Satan rebelled in the world that then was and deceived one-third of God's children minus the flesh, Revelation 12, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, Jesus said then, I will be the lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth. So God shook that, put that one away, brought in the second earth age and set all of us out one time in the flesh to choose Jesus or to choose the devil. But he himself left his high estate and came down to this nitty-gritty, miserable flesh existence through a virgin's womb. And Jesus walked these dusty roads. He was spit upon and he was crucified. He died for our sins and he arose again. And he set us free from sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, there you go.
Redeemed us from our enemies.
For his mercy endureth forever. Blessed Redeemer. Redeemer here, Palach in the Hebrew, means to break the chains. See, we were in captivity. All of you before you were saved, some of you, I saw that. You didn't know that, did you? I saw you wrapped up in chains and I felt sorry for you. And I went and told you about Jesus. Now, you see somebody in chains this week, you go and tell them about Jesus. You go help get somebody free. He set us free. We are freeborn.
25, who giveth food to all flesh,
for his mercy endureth forever. He provides for the little birds. I mean, boy, that yummy, yummy little worm that is so good. But you know what this means? Jesus is the bread of heaven. Jesus said, except you eat my body and drink my blood, you cannot have any part of me. In the new heaven on earth, we shall all partake of Jesus. Revelation 22, the last one, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation, means we will partake of Jesus. Gentiles, tribes, adopt, elect, all who are saved. And he is the living word, and it is the word that brings life. That will be the vitamin that will keep us alive through all eternity. Hallelujah.
26, O give thanks unto the God of heaven,
for his mercy endureth forever. That is Adonim of Adonim, possessor of heaven and earth. Give thanks unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. All of you did really good out in cyberspace radio land. I know you did well too. It's so good for all of us to get together and praise the Lord. Well, now it's time for mystery moment. Paul tells us to learn the mystery of God. Now keep in mind that there are seven trumps, which means order, events, and actions. The seventh trump is when the real Jesus shall return and every eye shall see him. He's not sneaking in and snatching anybody out. When he comes, we'll all see him. Before he comes, a fake Christ will come. Antichrist, the instead of Christ, spurious Messiah, false Messiah, the devil with his Jesus costume on, Apollyon, which is perdition, Satan, son of perdition, Abaddon, the destroyer, the devil. He's coming at the sixth trumpet. That's coming up very soon. We are now on the fifth seal and the fifth trump, and it's the time of learning. Joel says, blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. So may we hear the fifth trumpet of truth, please. Question number one, dear Sherry Trumpet, why doesn't Satan just repent? Because it's too late. Did you know you can fall off so far backwards? Too late, almost, but lost. In Ezekiel chapter 28, 17, 18, 19, 20, one of the play actor names of Satan there is King Tyrus. He has many play actor names, serpent, dragon, devil, Satan, morning star, Antichrist, he's coming back as savior, Theosarcha. And there God sentenced him because he deceived one-third of God's children and rebelled. He sentenced him to perdition, which means to perish from within, to turn to ashes from within. So he's the man of sin. He's the son of perdition. It's too late. Now God is using him right now to test people and see if they will choose Jesus, but he's on a leash. He will walk into the lake of fire at the end of the millennium, and that will be the end of Satan. Praise you, the Lord. Okay, next question. Why are we here? Well, Revelation chapter 4 says you are created to please our Father God. Did you please him this week? But the reason you're here in your flesh body, I know you think it's about your job, your family, the things, the hobbies, the things you... No. In the world that then was, God had a judgment, Romans 8. Whom he knew he justified, judged. For knew means those that did not betray him in the spirit body. No, only one time in the flesh. He brought everybody through in the flesh. You are here with the memory of whether you betrayed him or not, to choose Jesus or to choose the devil. That one little third that fought for God in the world that then was are called the Zadok, the elect. There's been a remnant in every generation, right here at the end, the very elect. And God has sent them down to bring the truth, oracles of truth, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, right on down. But see, you thought you were here about your job. You thought you were here to have fun. You thought you were here to be rich and famous and have a good time and feel really, really, really good. No. You're an assignment. You're here to choose Jesus or to choose the devil. This is your second chance. Okay. Next question. Dear Sherry, does God have a plan for our lives even before he sends us to be born through our mother's womb? Absolutely. The great example tonight, today, of King Cyrus. God named Cyrus. Can you imagine there he's in his spiritual body? Hey, come here, son. I'm going to call you Cyrus 140, 150 years from now, and I've got a plan for you. And he used him to help the people go back to Jerusalem. How about Jeremiah chapter 1? Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And Jeremiah, here's my plan for you. I want you to root up, pluck up, pull up, get all that babble out, and build and plant and sow the word of God. Hallelujah. Every one of you, that plan was written before you ever came in your mother's womb. So many of you have made your own plans. Repent tonight, Christians, and say, from this time forth, let me be in your plan. Everybody says, God's got a plan for my life. How about getting in his plan? He's got it written down. Ask him, yield, and he'll help you be there. Hallelujah. The freest you will ever be is to die to yourself and stop your self-love. I mean, of course, we respect ourselves, certainly. But I mean, fall in love. Give your life away. Die daily and let Jesus live. And whatever he says to do, do it. Good, do it, do it. I just dare you to be the best Christians that could ever be. I dare you to be sanctified. I dare you to go out this week and win souls to Jesus. I dare you to bring in people to the whole truth of God. I dare you to be holy people. You're called to be a holy people, Christian. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, let's see what time we've got here. Dear Sherry, was that a serpent in the garden or was that Satan? Okay. Let me first of all give you scripture so you'll understand this. Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. Remember I told you Satan has all kind of play actor names? So there he uses the word dragon. He says, the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil and Satan. He's talking about the serpent in the garden. Revelation 12, dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil and Satan. He's a play actor and he's coming back as Jesus. Revelation says he's going to call himself God's Savior, Theosata in the Greek. Yes, so see, he's a play actor. That's an analogy. The fruit was forbidden fruit. Haven't you heard a man say, don't you mess with my good-looking wife, that's forbidden fruit? Okay? So didn't you always know that God was bigger than to put us all in this mess for somebody to pick a piece of fruit? I mean, you don't kill your kid because they took the cookie out of the cookie jar. Have mercy. Satan, Jesus says, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed the wicked seed of the children of the wicked one, and the enemy that sowed them is the devil. Matthew 13, 38, right on down. There it is. Hallelujah. Seduction in the garden. Those will play a great big time. The children of Cain being the child of the devil, are called the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They are the ones that have destroyed our America with the four hidden dynasties, political, education, economy, and now, worst of all, that you're seeing, religion. And they're going to be around their father, the fake one, when he comes. And so, see, they always cause trouble. They pretend to be our brother Judah, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2. 2:9, Revelation 3:9, the Kenites. Jesus said in Revelation, there are only two type of churches at end time that please you. If you tell people who those are, who say they are Judah but are not the synagogue of Satan. I just told you, Kenites. Praise the Lord. Time for one more question. Dear Sherry, I noticed that you're a missionary to America. Can America be saved? Well, yes. Let's go to the Bible. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, Then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Now here is my 1, 2, 3 point. Very simple to save America. In 21 days, we would be just fine. Holy Spirit gave it to me. Number one, let all of the media all over the country, from Washington, the White House to No House, all 50 states, secular media, television, radio, all get together and have one whole day of America confessing our sins, repenting our sins, and calling on the name of Jesus. Alan, no fame, no show, nobody trying to be somebody big. You see what I'm saying? But we must all get together. Stop the commercial, stop the news, stop the sports, stop everything. Let's all do it. That would do it. Now, that's not hard. It is possible. We have the technology. And number two, on that day, then begin to make all of America, just make them once a week, gather around for 1 hour and hear every word of God. No money begging, no preaching of denominations, no books, no quarterlies, no man's sermon, but the word of God. America doesn't even know who you are. You don't even know about the 10 tribes coming here. The word of God, hearing, and really every day. It should be every day for 21 days, all America, and then at least once a week. And the third thing is to get us out of debt. We would go by Malachi chapter 3, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Let the government of the United States, every day, the first day of the week, set aside every bit of money that comes into Washington, D.C., and take 1/10 of it and give it to a Christian ministry. May I suggest the Shepherd's Chapel? They don't beg for money. They don't teach it wrong. They teach it right. I do, too, but I'm not going to take the money, okay, because you think I'm asking for it. And then what they do then, they add on the tithe each week, the government, they would add an offering. 2 Corinthians 9, God says he gives seed to the sower, and he gives bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown. God would immediately kick in and multiply. Let's say they took $10,000 plus the tithe. Well, I don't know how much they make each week. So you give the tithe, but plus the tithe, that's where God's law of reciprocity, that he multiplies the seed sown, and we would get out of this $18 trillion debt we're in. There it is, folks. No charge for that. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you who are sick, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask the Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Wherever there is any pain, let the pain be gone. Jesus bore your pains. Fibromyalgia, you stop in Jesus' name. Cancer, stop. Liver, stomach, intestine, flu, stop in Jesus' name. Deaf ears, hear. Lame legs, get up and walk. Depression, go. Senility, be gone. Alzheimer's, dementia, brains, come back. In the name and the power of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. Hallelujah. Now the greatest healing of all is salvation. If you're not saved, please pray this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Wash my sins away with your blood, Lord Jesus.
Wash my sins away from your blood, Lord Jesus.
Save me.
Save me.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me. To enlarge your territory.
I love you.
I thank you.
In
the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now my announcer is about to give you my telephone number. If you were healed and saved, you might like to call and tell me. You might like to call and tell me you love me, because I love you. I want to invite all of you here to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., Word and Prayer, and Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m., Word and Prayer. Always one book at a time, chapter, verse, line by line. And on Wednesday night, we fall on our faces on this floor, and we humbly cry out for America. Come and join us. Sunday, 5 p.m., Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, 916 Florida Avenue. Now, I love all of you, and I'm praying for each one. All of you who've called, I've got all of your names, and I pray every day for you specifically. Now, remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. I love you. God bless you, keep you, shamar you about with his hedge of protection. God willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
I'm gonna believe that we will see the kingdom come to earth. I'm gonna believe the signs and wonders follow hearts that burn. I'm gonna believe that sickness and poverty will cease. I'm gonna believe the power from the heavens will release. Oh, let your kingdom come on earth, and let your will be done. Yeah, light up the world with your love. Rain down on our hearts like a flood. Our eyes will see the glory. Fathers and their children will unite. I'm gonna believe that marriage will not end without a fight. I'm gonna believe that churches will become your hands and feet. I'm gonna believe that acts of love and kindness will linger in. Oh, lay your kingdom come on earth.
king is more than songs that we sing. It's a reflection of our ever-changing lives, the best we have to offer. We don't just lift up our hands, Lord, we lift up our lives, for we know that you are worthy of our praise. To you our life songs raise.
are your thoughts, O God. So high, so wide, so deep. How precious to me. How precious to me. Are your thoughts, O God, so high, so wide, so deep? How precious to me. So if I were to try and count them, I would live and die in perfect bliss. The counting it is never over, and the beauty never ends.
You are listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach and Vieira, as well as WRRJ, Coco Beach, Cape Canaveral, 89.7 FM.
Of the prophet, I love to sing with the angels. I love to hear children praying. I love to see weak make strong. But most of all, I love to hear the voice of God. I hear the prayers of the prayer.